This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
They call it Al-Aswadan during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The scholars have mentioned because, you know, the well waters have different, the water from the well has different color. It's actually certain, when you, like you said, you look down in the water, it's actually black. And it is, there's some blackness in the water, because based on the soil also. Because sometimes some wells, you take out the water, you'll see it's not clear, it's actually black. And so that's what the color, the scholars have mentioned, the color of the of well water in Medina was that color during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that's why it was black. And they were able to eat dates only. Why? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for barakah in the dates of Medina. The dates of Medina. Prophet Ibrahim made dua for the people of Mecca. Do you know what he made dua for them to have? What's blessed in Medina, in Mecca? He made dua for the people of Mecca to have what?
Zamzam.
Zamzam? No, there's something else, some food. Zamzam, of course, is blessed by default already.
Fruits.
Meat. The meat of the people of Mecca is blessed. The meat of the people of Mecca is blessed. It's so blessed that when you eat, you know, if you were to eat meat anywhere in the world, anywhere you eat meat in the world, just eat. If you eat too much meat, you get sick. Too much meat, you get sick. Except in
Mecca.
Except in Mecca. And the meat of Mecca is blessed because Prophet Ibrahim made dua for the meat in Mecca. One, yes.
Is that meat from the animal from Mecca, or the meat that's imported from somewhere else?
That's the meat in Mecca itself. Any meat that's in Mecca, he made dua for them to have meat in Mecca. So that's blessed. And even during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they used to have what's called qadid, which is dried meat. And the Somalis, I forgot what you guys call it?
Utqa.
Utqa? Yeah, that's the hard dry meat. That's what they used to have. During time in Mecca. And you can keep that for a very long time. It doesn't spoil, right? So that's the meat. That meat there, that's what they used to have. That's the staple. The people who in Mecca, you know, when they have a lot of meat, they would make it. They would make qadid, and that's what they used to eat. And so Prophet Ibrahim, when Prophet Ibrahim came to Mecca, remember he left Ismail and his wife Hajar. The first time he came, Hajar Prophet Ismail married from a woman who was not very, very good character. So Prophet Ibrahim is her father-in-law, but she doesn't know. He comes to visit because, you know, he left and he comes to visit. And so she doesn't know that this is her father-in-law. So Prophet Ibrahim comes knocking at the door. And he says, "Is there anybody home? Is there anyone home?" And she says, "No. Where's your husband? Oh, he's gone. He went, you know, went hunting. He's not here. Do you guys have any food? And what do you guys eat? What do you guys have for food?" And you know what she said? "Any food, water?" She said, "No, we don't have anything. No food, no water. Sorry." Ya Allah, no food, no water. And she's complaining, life is so difficult. We don't have any food, we don't have any water. Why did she say that? Do you think she has any food and water at home? She does. But she's always complaining. Number two, what's she worried about? Some of the scholars have mentioned she was greedy. She wasn't generous. So if you have a guest, someone who is traveling long distance and they need at least, you know, like, oh, we don't have much, but this is what we have. If you want some, we can give you some. You know, I know my husband's not here, but here, just take some of this. You know, if you see somebody hungry, right, you would do that. So, but she wasn't like that. So Prophet Ibrahim, he says, and she doesn't know, of course, he says, you know, when your husband comes back, send him this message. Send him my salams and tell him to change his threshold on the door. You know, near the door has this little thing in the bottom. Usually sometimes when there's water that comes, so it doesn't come, you have that threshold, right? And you have the atabat al-bab. He said, change that. Tell him to change that when he comes home. Change that. And she doesn't understand, right? But what he was telling him to do, telling Ismail to do, was to divorce his wife. To divorce his wife. And of course, Prophet Ismail is somebody who's very, 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 Prophet Ismail is somebody who's very, very well known, on his lineage and who he was and his kindness, generosity. He was a prophet and messenger of God. So he was very, very, in terms of his character, he was noble in character and generous. And so when he came back, he divorced his wife. And he knew, and of course he told his wife that, that's my father, and he has advised me to divorce you. And so he divorces his wife. And the people in the Jurhum, they were there, right? The Jurhum, they were there. And so they hear about what happened and why he divorced. Why is he divorced? You know, when a divorce happens, what happens? What do people? People speak about it, right? Like, what? Why did he divorce his wife? There must have been a reason. So this story gets out. This story gets out. And when the story gets out, the thing that was praiseworthy about Prophet Ibrahim, or Prophet Ismail, was the leader of the Jurhum, right? He's the chief, the leader of the Jurhum. They were the ones who came from Yemen, they came, lived in Mecca with Prophet Ismail and his mother. And of course, that's who he married from. But he, of course, now he's just recently divorced his wife, and they know why. So the chief hears and invites Prophet Ismail, invites Prophet Ismail to see him. He says, you know, he praises him. He says, you're someone who is very, very good, very obedient to your father. Your father tells you to divorce your wife, and you divorce your wife, right? Because of your father. Because of that, he says, you know what, I want you to, I'm not going to allow you to marry anyone except for my daughter. So you have to marry my daughter, right? You have to marry my daughter. So he, Prophet Ismail, marries the daughter of the chieftain of Jurhum. Like, she is the most noble woman, like in Mecca and in the town. And so he ends up marrying Prophet Ismail. Prophet Ismail ends up marrying her. And of course, later on, his father comes back again in the same situation. But this time he says, what have you, do you guys, where's your husband? Well, he's gone hunting. Says, do you have any food? I mean, how's life here? Says, life is good. She never complains. Right, you have to understand the first problem with the first wife was she was already complaining, even though complaining about how hard their lives were. To who? To a total stranger. So let me tell you something. If your wife is speaking to the mailman, the UPS guy, about the problems in your household, that's a big problem, right? This is a stranger. And how is she complaining about all the difficulties? Right? That's not somebody who you should be talking to about your problems at home. Right? So that's number one. Secondly, she was very, very stingy. But this wife was the opposite. So he says, Alhamdulillah, everything's good. And he says, do you have anything? So what is it that you have to eat? Do you guys have any food? Oh, I said, yes, we do. We have meat. We have meat. And we have water. We have meat. We have milk if you want some. So Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua to Allah to bless the meat of Mecca. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Prophet Ibrahim made dua to bless the meat of Mecca, and I have made dua to bless the the dates of Medina by twofolds. And that's why the best dates are the dates of Medina. The most blessed dates are the dates of Medina. So this is not just, you know, hearsay. No, this is from the Prophet ﷺ himself. So if you find dates and they are from Medina, these are blessed dates. How are they so they are so blessed that you can eat dates every single day. You can eat Medina dates every single day, and you don't have to eat anything else, and you have everything you need. You have everything. You won't get sick, in other words. You won't be missing, lacking anything. And that's why the people, I mean, look at how many people go make Hajj and Umrah. Right? If you go to another country, coming from America, when you go back home, what do a lot of people who grew up here go back home? What do they get the first week?
Diarrhea.
What did they get?
Diarrhea.
Sick, diarrhea, everything, right? Right? You get diarrhea.
Yeah.
You go to Mecca, and how many people are there? What's something that people don't get from eating the meat? Do you hear people getting diarrhea from the meat all the time, like you hear about other places? Do you hear about it?
No.
Once in a while, but not common like other places. Do you understand? Like, how many times have I been to Mecca?
You don't get sick?
I never got diarrhea. But maybe you get sick because of other things. Yeah, other things, but not because of the food, the diarrhea.
But then it was... Food,
yeah, I mean...
They used it to cook outside and...
Yeah, of course.
Especially in the...
Yeah, they don't take care of the stuff like that. But generally, the amount of meat that people eat there, and the people they eat, that's all they do is eat meat. Also, but the meat is blessed. The meat is blessed in Mecca, and the dates in Medina are blessed. The dates, and that's why if you eat... You know, the dates in Medina, when we say blessed, that means it has all that you need. And you can eat that, and it'll be enough for you. For 2 months straight, eat nothing but dates, and you have all the energy and strength that you can need, that you ever need. Just water and dates. And so what do we learn from this hadith? The Prophet ﷺ used to, he was always invited to eat by the companions. And sometimes the companions would bring food. Whenever they had food, they would bring it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when the Prophet sallallahu, when the Messenger of Allah had food, do you know what he would do with his food, with the food that he had? The companions would have food, would bring food, and they would bring it just enough for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife. Only enough for them. Sometimes just enough for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one of his wives maybe. But the Messenger of Allah would still share. And because of the blessing of it, that it was enough for all of them. It was enough for all of them. And that's why one day, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, I'll end it with this inshaAllah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu used to be with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all the time. So he said, I was hungry, and sometimes I would ask a question. I would ask them, you know, Abu Bakr, Omar, and I would ask some of the companions questions. Not because I wanted to know the answer, but I wanted them to realize how hungry I was. Like, this is how hungry he is, but he's shy to ask for food. But he's so hungry that he asks them a question. He says, I know the answer to the question, but I'm asking in hopes that maybe they will realize how hungry I am, maybe invite me to their house. Then he asks, and nobody realizes. They just give him the answer. So he's still hungry. He asks again, still hungry. And then he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "I know exactly why you're here." there's a companion, you know, who has who said they have some milk for me,
like, why don't you go and get it? Why don't you go and get it? And so he went and he got it to bring it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was very happy because he knew, because the Prophet said, no, I know why. He says, I know you're hungry. I know why you're here. You don't have to ask the question. I know why you're here. And so he said, and then I brought the milk and I wanted to drink it. But of course, you know, they gave it to the Prophet ﷺ first. And so the messenger, when I arrived, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go call your companions. He said, go call your companions. And of course, this is the whole group, Ahlul Sufa. These are the people in the back of the masjid. And Abu Hurairah is saying, like, if it wasn't for the fact that it's mandatory, it's obligatory for me to obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't think I would have done it. like I was so hungry. I was so hungry that he didn't want to do it because, you know what, this milk, I need this more than anyone else. Right? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I call your companions. So I went anyways. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, okay, let them drink. And he says, you know, all of them, like, how are they going to drink? Like, this is just a small container. How are they all going to drink? What's going to be left for me? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives it to all of the other companions, right? All the companions, and every single one, Abu Hurairah says, this is it. There's nothing going to be left for me. One after the other, no, there's nothing. And the next person drinks, and the next person drinks, and the next person drinks. And there's nothing going to be left for me. And he says, you know, I wouldn't have given to any one of them but I had to do it because the Prophet ﷺ ordered me to. Until finally, all of them drank. Ya Allah, all of them drank. And then it was my turn. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, drink. And I drank until I felt like I was full already. But there was still more milk. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, drink more. And I drank. And then he drank again. And I drank until I was already full, but I still drank. And he said, drink. Until finally I said, oh, Messenger of Allah, I don't think there's any space left in me right now. There's nothing left. He said, I drank until there's nothing left. I couldn't put in any more. So I drank and drank. And then finally I gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he drank, and then it was empty after he drank. But it was meant to be just for one or two people, but was enough for the whole group because of the barakah. Because of the blessing of the man during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the companions used to sometimes bring food to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes they would invite the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it's part of the sunnah then, you know, to also, you know, to invite others for food, and also to give gifts of food when you have some food at home. Bring out, you know, make some extra and give to your neighbors, give to your friends and family. This is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to do. And if you do so, inshallah, there will be blessing in it. And that's why one of the first things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said when he arrived in Medina, he said, "Ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu at'am, wa at'im at'am." So give food, feed others. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. And he ate. And so that's why sometimes the companions of the Prophet ﷺ knew that there was blessing in it. So when you share food, there's blessing in your food. And blessing in your rizq. Blessing because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses when you're generous, when you're kind. Just like the woman, the wife, the second wife of Prophet Ismail, when she was generous, she wasn't stingy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her, and as a result of her actions, blessed the people of Mecca, as a result of the dua of Prophet Ibrahim also.
So to sharing food, being generous when it comes to food, kind, inshallah, this is all something that's praiseworthy. Inshallah, we'll end it right there. And we'll continue next week with this particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's going to be about prayer also, remember? So they're going to come and pray, and who do you, when you're praying at home. Right now we're speaking about praying in the masjid. But when you pray at home, you have children, women, or you have two people, one person, how do you stand? Because some people, how do they stand? Some people, you have two people, person stands here, and the other person stays behind. Some people say you should stand right next to them. If you have three people, who do you stand? Some people, they stand two people next to the imam. Some people, two people back. So what are the rulings? What's the rulings behind that and all about that? And if you have let's say if your wife is leading the people, or she's the only one that, you know, that's praying or leading the prayer in the masjid at home, how does she pray? Inshallah, we'll cover all of that next week, inshallah. Anyone have any questions relating to this or anything else? If not, inshallah, again, we'll continue with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Saturday nights. Sunday night, this Sunday we have the sister session after Maghrib. But if you want, also we do remember we do have Quran on Saturday mornings. If you can join us for that, inshallah. This Saturday we'll try to, hopefully we don't forget, we'll try to bring breakfast also. We'll have some breakfast after the Quran class. You know, usually inshallah when we announce we have breakfast, mashallah, inshallah, hopefully we have more people come. And people are not just coming for the food, inshallah, but food is good, right? It's extra. You come for the Quran and the food is extra, right? The food is extra blessing. Inshallah, we'll try to get some breakfast also together so that we will, you know, come, you know, meet each other to learn the Quran and the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.